Call the first monthly regular meeting of the Port of Port Townsend for Wednesday, September the 9th to order. We'll stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, so do we have any additions or corrections to the agenda?
I'd like to ask for executive session and have Larry sit in with us. I was hoping for court attorney as well, but he's not going to be here.
So without a court attorney, you still want one?
Yeah.
Okay.
For personnel matters.
Okay.
Ten minutes.
And no decisions?
No.
Okay. Any other additions? Okay, I move the agenda be approved as modified.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, the consent agenda. I assume we've all read it?
Yes.
I move that we approve the consent agenda.
Second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Public comments not related to the agenda. Do we have any off-the-wall comments out there? Okay.
Off the wall, I don't know. I took the profit center analysis from Abigail and reviewed it for the Merge tenants for the Boathaven. There's four copies here, and I checked them with Abigail. I promised her I wouldn't put her on the spot, it shows the total revenue for the port, and then it subtracts the expenses, which includes A and G, and the overall expenses, and then it subtracts the debt service and leaves $78,231. There are some people that think that everybody should be paying for depreciation. That, to my knowledge, that has not been decided by the commission as to how to approach that. And I think that not even clear everybody understands that. So to publish in the paper and say that the mortgage tenants are being subsidized by the taxpayers is unfair, because there's $78,000 in excess there. And in fact, it has been redefined as a sinking fund. And I would remind you that the mortgage tenants are the only ones that did create a sinking fund of $1.2 million. And there is no obligation to spend that on that, but it's just an act of good faith. Already $225,000 of that was used for upgrades on the administration building. So I don't understand why the port just doesn't come forward and say the taxpayers don't subsidize the mortgage tenants, because we're your clients and we represent 25% of your income. And it's a respectful thing to do.
Thank you for your comments. George? I'm
sorry. Well, I've been toying with my mind here, but about a month ago, you folks had a retreat here in Port Ludlow, and someone sent me the Morris Tenant Union's take on that particular meeting. And billed as some kind of a secret meeting or clandestine, that's the flavor that came out of the wording. And that you guys decimated or somehow essentially threw out the strategic plan. I attended that meeting, both meetings that you have. None of that took place as it was described in the Merge Tenant Union newsletter. And I think that you need to take issue with it, because I think it's patently unfair how it was presented.
You Mr. Folks, President, this is a personal attack, let me speak.
Are you ready?
One person at a time. George still has a couple minutes left.
Because, first of all, you aren't taking out access to the water, other than it's an issue that's part of the strategic plan. Where it ends up in the strategic plan, and it will, is really not crucial here. Remember when the strategic plan was written in 2008 during the economic meltdown. 2 years later, when it was the strategic plan was adopted, we were still thinking of access to the water, whatever that means. There is nothing in the strategic plan that identifies what access to the water means. Now, we all know how much access to the water that the port provides. How could it do any more except what's being denied here is that the Mortgage Tenant Union opposes the boat ramp. And there are more tradable boats in this county, considerably more boats in this county, than what is moored here in the boat haven. So my concern is this, let's make this fair, let's make this objective. I think the mission of the port is economic development, not whatever. And somebody, if they can clarify it for me, what access to the water means, maybe I could understand this. So I want that defined.
Okay, thank you, George. I think that we've...
Go ahead.
Well, I think we had a clarification of some of the issues that occurred that were actually not really reported quite accurately in the leader. There's a thing on the website that talks about how some of the things that were reputed to have happened there didn't, and that's that we changed the mission statement to not include that, which is not the case. We just recommended changes that are then going to go to the public. And actually, in today's meeting, I'm going to recommend that we figure out how that process is going to go forward. But as far as actually changing anything, nothing got changed. You know, it's not changed until it's changed, and that's not now. So some of that's already happening, and perhaps defining access to the water is a good exercise we could take together as a port. Melinda.
Yes, I'd like to respond to Mr. Levy's comment. One, again, it's a misrepresentation of being a cash cow for the port. Point is that all of this needs to be on fair market value, and the mortgage tenants are not. They are being subsidized by the public. I've shown that more than one time in schedules. There's a order to $500,000 amount that's going to need to be paid for the C&E docks. He conveniently forgets that we do need to pay it. Secondly, when it comes to not allowing statements that are patently incorrect, may even be considered lying. He had a statement today in the paper saying that $1.4 million was paid in the administrative office that was built when it was actually $1.1 million, and that's easy enough to verify. And I would also like to see that kind of irresponsible discussion kept out of the newspaper. Thank you.
Thank you. Ron.
Hey, I just wanted to say there's a lot of ways to interpret financial statements and whether one operation is making money or it's not making money. But I think the real goal of this community, this port, is that we want to make the port viable for the future. And in my opinion, what we need to do is create a reserve account. And I know Bertram thinks that he created one already, but what I mean is that, let's say we decided 5% surcharge on all business in the port, all billed by the port. And that money would go into an account that would be for future repairs and capital maintenance. And whether you call it a sinking fund or a reserve account or whatever, that money goes into a savings account that can't be touched. Right now, the reserve that we're talking about at Bergen it's just a number on an Excel schedule. It's not in any separate bank account. But I think if we did start saving for the future, I mean, we'd be a whole lot better. And people would understand when they have to pay more money, it's to go into this reserve account. And they wouldn't be thinking, well, hey, the marina tenants want the shipyard to pay more of the environmental cost. The marina people think that it's the shipyard that creates the environmental problem in the port. And we get into these pointing fingers at everybody, and it doesn't do any good. I mean, to me, we're all in this together. And if we could save the money and start building up a reserve account, that's really good for the future. To lose money in an operation, sometimes it's necessary. And the shipyard is probably the biggest example. It loses probably close to the most money, but it's creating all these jobs and bringing all this business into our community. It's a great investment in this community. So if we lose money there, you know, it's not hurting us because we're making money back probably five times in other areas. But we got to have some plan to set up a reserve account. And it's not the property of one group or another group. It belongs to the port. And I think in your budgeting, in your cash flow projection, you should incorporate something that you can afford. I know we don't have the money, but I think it would be a good idea. Anyhow. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. Vigo.
I've got to make a quick comment here. The port for a number of years has disregarded maintenance on capital facilities that you've got. You haven't had a maintenance plan. You haven't had a capital budget plan. And I think it'd be great if we could establish a reserve fund. You can't. You don't have any money. Your own budget this year shows a shortfall of $147,000. You have at least documented currently $25 million worth of capital projects and maintenance projects need to be done. You can't save any money for reserve. Ain't any left. I challenge anybody to say, where are you going to save the reserve and not maintain the buildings? The buildings come first. The facilities come first. If we had a reserve, that'd be fine. But the maintenance on these buildings has been disregarded for years. And the, you know, one of the examples is the offices that the port used to have down at Point Hudson. They stink. Something needs to be done to cover those floors or wherever that stink's coming so you can keep the tenants that are there.
Thank you, Vigo. Any other comments? Okay, well then we'll just dive right into the agenda. This is the second reading. So the first item on the second reading is a contract award for the boat ramp expansion.
Okay. So we reported last meeting that we had opened bids for the boat ramp expansion. We got two bids, one from Neptune for $412,750, and one from Quig that was about $100,000 more than that. We've done our due diligence on Neptune. We've checked references. They're a fine marine construction company out of Anacortes. Keep in mind that we have a $350,000 grant from RCO to cover a good part of this. We are on the book for probably about $150,000 at the end of the day is going to be our share of that. So we've presented a contract to you, it was in your Dropbox, and that's all we need to say.
Okay, so is there any other discussion on this?
Well, the recommendation is that you approve the contract so we can get the timeline set up and get this project moving.
So the $150,000, does that include the $78,000 that's been spent to date?
It does not.
No.
So how's it coming with the building permits? Where are you at with that?
We have one more hoop to jump through with calculations. Michael's ready to sign off. So we should have that. They said Friday, but I'm saying Monday. So by Monday, we will have all construction permits. We have all the other permits, including the substantial shoreline development permit in the city. We're waiting on the engineered permit.
Okay.
there, and I might add, and I said in here, the city is not asking for any additional things that were proposed.
So no problems with change orders as a result of permitting issues then? Good, good.
But just indicative of the government that we've built over the years, we had to go to the hearings examiner to justify that the boat ramp was a water-dependent use.
You have a hard time proving that?
As I'm sitting here looking out the window here?
Yeah, it's like we're going to build it at the airport? Come on. But we had to do the same thing. So, you probably weren't here when we, Coast Guard wanted to build a new building. The Coast Guard had to prove that they were a water-dependent use.
The one thing I noticed, page 4, Article 9, insurance. I mentioned this to Jim and Larry at lunch just briefly, but, you know, any more on pollution, and I realize this is just a backhoe job, mostly, but if you did have a spill in the marina, you're going to chew through $1 million super quick if you have to actually go out and clean some riprap and things like that. So my only comment on the contract was that the pollution side seems a bit light. And pollution's insurance is certainly cheap for compared to what it can mitigate if there is actually a situation.
Good point.
Yeah, you know, this is a pretty low-key job, but I think it raises, as we talked on the lunch, a broader question. You know, even on general liability insurance, $1 million, you know, if somebody trips and falls on the work site, you know, $1 million is the starting point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we may want to just kind of adopt, even if it's an informal policy, that we did it with the Wooden Boat Festival. We got $2 million. And the last time the pilots put on a fly-in, we got $2 million of liability insurance out there. So that may be something we'll look at for future contracts, that maybe $2 million is the entry fee.
Yeah, good question for legal counsel if they're here, huh?
But, as you know, we don't have a lawyer today, but the canal bridge is broke in the open position.
No.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, that's why they
indefinitely.
This is a test case for the tsunami.
We are now an island.
But Pete, I have no problem going back to Neptune and saying that we would like to increase that to $2 million.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sure they would.
Yeah, I think it'd just be safe to do that.
Wise.
They're working on the water and all that. And the other thing I was going to say is it's kind of appropriate that we're sitting here on the eve of Wooden Boat, and we're seeing lots of wooden boats pulling up to the, and a lot of guys are going to want to go fishing this weekend, and so it's going to be an interesting event. With everything here, so
could you talk a little bit about how this project's going to be managed? I mean, who's going to do that, how that process works?
Type is the project manager. He was hired from day one when we started designing this. So he's under contract through the year to get this done. So he will be the on-site construction manager, and Abigail and I will do all the prevailing wage stuff.
So will he be like on-site every day, or?
If you've ever worked with Tyke, he's here. He's here late.
And is his expense part of the $150,000 you mentioned? Okay. Well, this morning we had a conversation about you know, some budget issues and employee compensation and so on. I hope the port's employees don't look at this like we're trading, potentially they're bringing their compensation up to industry standards, which is commensurate with the industry or the boat ramp. I just want to voice that. I hope they don't look at it this way, because I don't believe it's that way, but I would encourage maybe that perhaps there's some dialogue with some of the folks to make sure that.
Are we doing both?
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. It's in this case we're looking at doing it at third increments as opposed to doing it all at once. That's all I'm concerned about. I just don't want people to be upset about that.
And I think, you know, I've had at least 2 to 3 meetings with supervisors now.
Okay.
And all of them were here when we did this in 2009. Understand the phased approach. So
okay. Good. With that.
So I'll make a motion to approve this.
I'll second that motion. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
You know, the only other thing, once we get a firm timeline, we'll start putting signs out in advance. you know, just to warn people that, hey, starting, you know, October 18th, or you know, whatever the date is, you know, the ramp will be closed, et cetera. And I have no doubt we'll probably get a few folks, especially if they're coming from out of county, saying, hey, wait a minute, you know, what's going on here?
So when do you give out your notice to proceed with this?
Tomorrow.
So then that starts the clock at 60 days?
So they're, just so everybody knows, they're looking to start mid-October. They say it could be a 4-week, but to plan on a 6-week closure. So just so we know, it could potentially be closed for 6 weeks. But we're doing it a good time of year, October through, you know, the end of the year. So hopefully that won't cut into crabbing too much for them.
We'll spread the word throughout the Puget Sound Anglers chapters.
That will be helpful.
From Puget Sound.
It's unfortunate that Fort Warden closed at the same time. So to have two ramps down, it's going to be tough, but we appreciate the patience.
Okay, next item, 2016 budget.
Well, we already had our discussion this morning. Traditionally, we also put it on the regular agenda just to make sure, you know, one more opportunity for public input and everything. Although it was brought up by a certain during public comment, I did have, I overlooked it, you know, reserve funds, you know, what, why, and how fund, you know, that should be something that we do look at. Either if we're not going to do it, fine. We do have a reserve fund that's kind of an emergency reserve fund, and there's about $75,000 in it right now. And we have used that over the years. Probably the most notable was we had a the day after November, a really big windstorm here, and it eroded three large sections of the outer break wall here at Cloquet. So under emergency repair, we took, I think it was about $80,000 out of that to make a quick repair of the breakwater. So I'd like to have that reserve fund available. I'd like to have about $200,000, you know, for just that purpose and not used for anything else. It's kind of sitting there, so. But we should be thinking about that. And although, you know, it's going to be difficult to fund any reserve accounts with the capital facilities plan. You know, we started out behind the power curve decades ago, with, especially with Point Hudson, when we leased it out with the $500 a month for 40 years. So no CPI, but I can't account for decisions made back in the 60s. You know, we really got to seriously start looking at how we're going to do this, even if it's just, you know, 10, 20, 50,000 that we start putting away, because we're going to, you know, be faced with a lot of this stuff. And I'd rather at least acknowledge that by getting some reserve accounts set up.
I like Ron. I'm with you, Ron. I think, I mean, I cringe at it, but I think 5% is a good number. And I went to our Tri-Area RC meeting last night, and every month we meet and I listen to what we're, I mean, we're now 15 years old in that club. We've got, I think, a $25,000 CD, and we've got $15,000 in the bank. And I mean, we're a little tiny RC club, you know, but every, we're chunking it away all the time. And so I understand that dramatically.
And a lot of this stuff, you know, if we have a little bit of reserve money put aside, there are grant opportunities, you know, that come along, especially for something like Point Hudson, where it's in the historic district or something, but you've got to have that match money. You may not need the whole $500,000 to fix a building, but if you got that 25% to capture, you know, the other $400,000, then it makes it worthwhile. So we just need to look at it. I'm saying. Other than that, unless anybody's got anything that we missed this morning, you want to bring up? We just have a draft to you.
What do you guys think of that?
Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
I think we definitely need it. Mm-hmm.
I think that what we need to explore a little bit is, I think that Ron was suggesting that it's a dedicated fund, and I think that means it has restrictions on withdrawing it. Is that correct? Like the Boathaven Reserve Fund was just a shelf, but all you had to do is reach up and pick it. Whereas this is a reserve fund, it's like a shelf with a lock, a combination, and you have to do all kinds of stuff to access it. Is that correct?
And the commission back in 2002, when we got Point Hudson back under our control, that's where reserve, idea came about. That was the first reserve account, was the Point Hudson reserve account. Knowing that the marina had to be immediately addressed, it was literally falling apart. And worked well there. But I was going to mention something else. Oh. The expectations for the next meeting. We're not going to have the full glossy photographs and all that for you. We're going to have the numbers, for an initial draft. So
that's going to be our evening meeting, so there won't be a workshop. We had a budget discussion this morning at a workshop, and as it comes, this has already been discussed a little bit here. So next one's going to be an evening meeting with just the numbers. Right.
Then as we get closer to the end, then we'll spruce it up with all the descriptions and what you saw last year. So.
Okay, any other discussion on the budget?
Well, I just asked a while back about, is there any cost savings, any opportunities for cost savings? And I don't know, it seems like there's not, never going to get much feedback on that, but.
Well, there is.
Appreciate having another swipe at that.
Let me, I'll put some thoughts down on paper. I don't think you're going to get a lot, unless we cut back on services. I can get a lot out of staff associated costs, but our attorney fees seem to be a lot higher than they need to be. That's one area. I would think we could probably shave at least 10, 15 grand off of that. I need to do a little more, actual number crunching. And things like that, other than in the budget, we predict, we'll have, attorney's a good thing, we'll have $50,000, say, in attorney fees. Yeah, we can still go ahead and see where we can cut, even though we had that in the budget.
Bertram.
I have a question, Pete. So you're entertaining 5%. So if you look at the operating revenue, it's $5.1 million. So that's $250,000 for all the operating portions of it. So what is your vision here that there would be 5% of each of the centers would pay go to a fund like Point Hudson, so you would increase the rates of Point Hudson by 5%?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how it works because I know where we're at with the budget and there is no money. My point is that I agree with Ron across the whole port to take 5% off of all activity and get started with a reserve account, restricted reserve account, is a smart idea. At some point we have to say, how are we going to do this?
The only reason I say that, I agree with Abigail, the question of doing the jetty with the revenue bond, and I thought, how is revenue going to come in for some time? But she showed me that in another year, maybe 17, it's all, there's a big drop in the debt service.
Right.
And that revenue is available. And so, seeking other funds, such as the IDD for the jetty, would free up, conceivably, $400,000 a year, which could then be directed towards repairing the infrastructure, make it very easy so the port wouldn't be so scrapped. So because some of these sectors, might not be able to bear 5%.
Well, I think it's an idea that's been put forth that I think we all like. We just have to figure out how to make it work. And how that would reflect on all the different activities in the port.
Well, I think the mindset, I guess my point, Bertram, is that the mindset is you want it to become a line item so that it's non-negotiable. Just like we have a line item that, we got to pay for the maintenance on the heavy haul out, and that is X number of dollars per year. So, or else we don't get a heavy haul out. And so I think we would be wise to take the reserve account line item fund and create it. In the profit and loss. in the accounting, so that we're not debating whether we're going to get a chunk here 3 years down the road, but then this year we're at break even, and then, so, you know, we're constantly dealing with the cycle of, yeah, we're going to be good here in 2 years and we're not good now. So I think if we're taking our pain along with the good years in terms of putting so much into reserve fund, we're miles ahead.
With all due respect, I think that this is true. Every sector has a different scenario. For example, the mortgage pays prospectively for the AB doc and still has some reserve. In 2026, that loan will be retired. About, if you keep the CD docs alive till then the prospectively, the next tenants will be able to pay for the note on that. So that application might not be the same as, for example, the jetty, which is not producing asset. So each sector has a different way of dealing with its repairs and replacements depending on its budget.
Yeah, I know where you're going with that, and I don't agree with that. That'd be more of a conversation we could have one-on-one.
Melinda?
Yeah, but especially when you're talking about reserve, it's not based on individual departments, if you will, like the trade here, the docks, or port Hudson. It's on an overall basis, because the port has got to look at its budget on, in the final regard, on an overall budget of how it's going to do its mission. And trying to single out and say, well, how is this little thing going to give 5% is meaningless if it doesn't really make sense. How does the port as a whole establish this reserve from all of its operations?
Good point. How do we do it?
Well, the other way to look at it, and it's a tough pill to swallow, is, you know, we're taking in almost $1 million in property tax, you know, and all these assets ultimately are owned by the taxpayers. So shouldn't the property tax be funding all these reserve accounts and fixing up the infrastructure? And then all the operations are paid for at market rate by the users. That's the other way to look at it.
No. Okay, any other discussions on the budget? All right, then we'll go to the October 28th, 2015 meeting date change. You know, I've been thinking about this. This is a date change we were going to have so that we could attend the NMTA seminar or conference they're having in Bremerton. And
No.
Yeah.
Small pork.
No,
NMTA.
Yeah.
Did you have something about this?
Something about the budget. Was there going to be, have you already accepted the budget, or is that?
No, there's no budget yet.
Okay. So anyway, on the NMTA conference, I recall last time that the thing that they had that made us want to go early was a meeting, but it was just a group of folks at a pizza place, and it really wasn't much of a much. So I would think that we could probably just leave the date time the way it is, because the meeting's over 6 or 7, and there'd be plenty of time to drive over there, get in the hotel. I was thinking that it was a real reception where you actually had a chance to smooch with folks and talk to people, but.
Because you were and I both there last
year. Yeah, we were both there. That was that thing at the pizza place, right?
It was
what?
Pulled pork. It was a little sandwich.
Yeah, a little sandwich shop. Yeah.
But you know, it was an opportunity, and it was a reception, is what it mm-hmm. was, for everybody to meet and greet and talk to other mm-hmm. boatyard and marine operators, and then the actual formal seminar, as far as the structured thing, was the next morning.
Right. Yeah. In other words, if changing the meeting day gives anyone heartburn, I wouldn't mind not missing the pulled pork sandwich.
They were good, though.
They were good.
But I won't be going to this conference.
So. Oh, so who is going to this conference besides me?
I'm it.
So I don't care. We'll just leave the meeting time the way it is, and it won't be a special meeting, and then we can have agenda changes. Okay, potential immediate action items. We have none. So now we're down to staff comments.
No. First reading.
First
Oh, I'm sorry, first reading, I skipped right over it. Acceptance of the AWAS project work.
This is strictly administrative thing that we've got to do. The AWAS project is completed, all the bills paid and everything else, but per, and you can read it according to the RCWs, we got to actually have the commission formally accept that, you know, declare the project complete, so we can just close the book totally on it. And this is first reading, so I guess we can do it, you know, prove it at the next one unless you want to.
Or we could just take it to immediate action.
Won't take it to immediate action.
So, are you happy with it all being properly done, Bill? Yay, okay.
I'm not done, I have a discussion.
Okay.
So, are we still talking about moving the antenna?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's a project that is well within Larry's signature authority to do.
Okay.
It's outside the actual.
All of this, right.
The FAA.
Okay. Cool.
Just so everybody knows, we have some coverage issues because of tall trees when pilots come in from a certain direction. And Bill, working with the PUD, has agreed to let us put an antenna on top of the water tower at Powell Point, which is the highest point in that hill. There'll be a repeater tower, it won't cost much money, but it gives us full coverage 360 degrees to the earth.
It's hugely dramatic. I mean, when you look at the different coverage charts, it's amazing.
Essentially, for the aircraft coming from the north, from San Juan, because you're kind of going uphill and then with the trees and it's all line of sight. Radio frequencies. So.
And so that won't affect this?
That's separate from this.
Okay. And so then, since this is a first reading and since there's nothing left to do, I suppose we could move that to a immediate action item if we all agree on it. So, do we all agree on it?
Yeah.
Okay, then we all agree. So, I move that we accept the AWAS project.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Hey, we got something done. All righty then. Now we're time for staff comments.
How do you? Just working on budget. That's about it.
Sue?
We can vote weekend, and we got our booth down there, and we've filled the schedule with staff to work the booth, so if any commissioners want to drop in. And
if you need to get your parking pass.
They have them.
Yeah. Very good. Just two things. One, I got my usual CEO breakfast tomorrow morning. It's going to be hosted by the school district. So it'll be up there. And I was going to, I think we told you, Steve, if you tell you, Pete. But you should know that Friday night, somebody broke into the solar panel field at the airport.
Oh, no, I
went through the chain link fence and stole five of the solar panels.
Wow.
And they're not, you know, they're bigger than one of these tables. Not light, so it's a multi-person job. So it was reported to the sheriff. it was just telling you it's not costing us anything because it's still under the contract with Andy Cochran and his people. Eventually, we're going to own it once, you know, their investment deal is done. But I just want to let you know that there's been some activity in Bill Marlowe, who owns 24 acres right adjacent to that, happened to stop by yesterday and say that there's a lot of people coming up the access road with the power line,
mm-hmm.
Four Corners, and cutting through the airport, through his property, and that's where you get the solar panel field right there. So that's all it.
Can we get those game motion detectors? Yeah, you see him?
Well, I suggest that Andy Cochran, does he take two or three of the solar panels and hardwire them to the fence?
That too.
So
those things are totally, you don't have to wire them or anything. They're solar panel powered and or battery powered. And
well, he's going to put up cameras out there.
That's what I'm, yeah.
So what were you calling him?
Well, those, you can put them on a tree in the woods.
Oh, those kind of games, yeah.
They're pretty cheap.
No.
Garmin makes them.
Yeah,
they're cheap.
Cabela sells them. Yeah, they're all infrared. But Andy's going to look into put the cameras out. That's it.
Okay. Any more public comments? Okay. Commissioner comments?
Not good.
So what's going on? What's the latest with our stormwater cleanup project?
They haven't gotten us the bid yet. We have called two other contractors, so we're doing this under limited small works. So by the RCWs, I need to call three companies, which I'm doing.
So it's not going to be the same company that was here?
Well, we have to give two other companies a chance. So we're in the process of doing that now. Probably it's going to come back to the commission because it probably will be more than Larry's spending authority. So we're looking at the next meeting, having that all wrapped up. And they still don't see a problem doing it into October.
So did you get a report on what, how, where is it? Is it three-fourths done?
Yeah.
Ninth cents done or?
I should have brought the map. We've got all the catch basins that have been done and haven't been done. There are 12 that need to be done plus vault three, which is the biggest vault. And what Larry Ozzie wants to do is when we're ready to do it, we're going to hire Mike Roth to go down and find space entry and close off the intake to that vault so that they're only sucking the water that's in the vault and not 2 miles of pipe. And we've already contacted everybody who's involved in that process. And they don't see it as a problem, but we're probably 60% done, 70% done.
Okay.
And did the last 10 days affect us at all?
No. It's a flow-through wet system. So if you can imagine a sump, that always has so much water in it.
Right.
So it doesn't matter if it rains because all that excess rain is going to go off and we'll still keep the same volume.
So. It's the vaults that are the critical in the catch basins. That's where the sediments from the last.
Well, it's my understanding, but when they're here, the problematic issue when they're here the first time was that they're having to pump this massive amount of water to get down and to the sediments.
Right.
And so. Perhaps with this rain, that's going to add to that they're going to have to pump that out as well, unless there's a way to isolate it, like you said with Mike Roth.
Yeah. So we're working on that, but hopefully have something for the next meeting.
That's a good idea. Mm-hmm. Plug in that.
But keep in mind, again, this is not part of our level three response for DOE. This is something we're doing kind of for ourselves, just to get a baseline, the test run. So.
And we're testing this sediment, right?
Sediment and the water. And none of it has been bad. It's amazing. I don't know why it hasn't been bad. The water is very clean. Matter of fact, the water could go right into the bay. We could pump it right into the bay. We're not going to. We're still going to use the city sewer because it's safer. Mm-hmm. And the sludge is going just to the landfill. Not our landfill is going to Tacoma, but it's just going to a regular class B landfill.
So why are they hauling all the way to Tacoma?
Because that's where they have their contract.
That's my good. Still don't get it though. I mean,
Any other comments? Okay. last week, the MRC that I work with or that I'm on the board, we installed. I don't know if you've seen them yet. We got them out just in time for Wooden Boat Festival. There's four new voluntary no anchor zone eelgrass buoys out there. And they're coming from Indian Point. There's two of them between Indian Point and the breakwater. And then there's two more south of the boat haven. And the guys that were installing it said that when we were down there surveying everything, they said the eelgrass is in wonderful condition. And primarily due to the presence of those voluntary no anchor buoys, it's been a really big success. And they did just a recent survey of where to place these other ones that we just placed last week. And the eelgrass is growing really well. So it's a marvelous patch to protect, and the anchor buoys are working really well. So it's been a big success. And the port, of course, did a lot to help by donating the boat and me. And
it seems like it'd be beneficial if there's some sort of an agreement with the state parks and the rangers and enforcing some of that, because over there in Mystery Bay this last weekend, mm-hmm. I got a photo of it. There's 23 boats rafted, anchored in the eelgrass zone.
Oh no.
Yeah. And there's nobody enforcing it, and they're just like, oh yeah, there's the buoys. And I don't know if there was a way to have some sort of an arrangement with the state parks so the rangers would have just take the initiative to go out there, because they've got their boat right there. They can say, hey, you guys, please don't do this. And I don't know what else, what other authority there would be, you know, in that area.
Are they tying up to existing buoys or?
No, they're just, they're all anchored. Yeah, right in the eelgrass zone.
In the eelgrass zone.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Maybe they need to change it from voluntary no anchor zone to mandatory no anchor zone.
Well, then you gotta really.
Yeah, then you have to.
I'm sure state parks will come back saying we don't have to ban power.
Well, they seem to have a new presence around there. They've been doing the, writing a lot of tickets.
Yeah.
Brian.
And Mr. Bay?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that's, you know, they had to change the management there with Flagler. And I'm not saying that past management was bad or anything like that, but they were maybe a little bit more laid back. And the new guys are, they're like, if you're at the dock any longer you're supposed to be, you know, you're gonna get a ticket or a warning or whatever. And so they seem to be.
So the eelgrass has got buoys marking it?
Yeah.
Actually, in Mystery Bay, it's not so much eelgrass as it is you can't have a certain number of boats because after a certain threshold, that number of boats becomes a marina.
It's like
and, yeah, and it's near.
Well, but it is marked off for some eelgrass areas.
Right, yeah. I mean, that's where they put it. But I mean, there's two things. I mean, there's actually one thing that actually could have some teeth, and that's the number of boats that create a marina. But I think the DNR is one that.
I think they have to, that number has to be there for like 30 days.
Yeah.
Straight before they'll.
It's actually 90.
Is it 90?
With the DNR, yeah. And it's the Department of Health that was pushing the issue.
Yeah, right. It was more than DNR.
So Mystery Bay, that's it's by Mystery Bay, but you're just talking about the
in
Fort
Mystery
Flag,
Bay.
Yeah. But I mean, the Fort Flagler people are the one giving tickets now, right?
Well, yeah, because they, you know, it's their park.
And that goes down to Mystery Bay too, right?
Mystery Bay Park is a state park,
right? So they would have jurisdiction there.
Yeah, and they have permanent dock hosts there, and they have the rangers come in every day.
Not part of Flagler.
Right, but it's part of state park.
But it's just, yeah. It is a state park. I mean, yeah, it's state park. It's managed by the same people who manage Flagler.
Well, it'll be brought up in the next MRC meeting. Okay, so that's all I have. So the next meeting will be Wednesday, September 23rd at 5:30 here in the commission building. And so this meeting is adjourned and we'll recess into, I'm sorry.
Brad had an executive meeting.
Yes.
Yes,
this is an executive session. We're adjourning into an executive session now.
Right. Mm-hmm. In fact, we're going to say something about